Labor law compliance. Since global supply chains often employ workers in multiple countries, it is important to understand how to navigate country and local labor laws and to know some international labor considerations and best practices. Country and local labor laws. Country and local labor laws can differ significantly. Labor laws in centralized economies may look quite different from those in decentralized economies. Some governments are organized around religious law or have a dual system of civil and religious laws that need to be navigated when working to comply with labor laws. Workers in centralized economies may have fewer rights to privacy or ability to lodge grievances. Even hiring may be regulated. Managers in Chinese corporations used to be assigned for political reasons rather than for job skills. All Chinese employees also require an employment contract, while in other countries these are used for only a certain class of known employee worker. When a government requires employment contracts, these need to be formally amended whenever there is a change in contract or work period. However, even in decentralized economies, there is a wide difference in labor laws. Unlike the U.S., most other countries do not use the at-will employment law that allows for termination without cause. The European Union and Australia also have more stringent protections for worker privacy, collective bargaining, and employee benefits than the U.S. Organizations therefore need to ensure that they have competent human resources staff that are knowledgeable about each of the countries and local areas in which they have significant operations. Even if local countries do not effectively enforce their labor laws, interest groups can bring home country legal action against an organization that is operating in violation of a different country's labor laws. U.S. extraterritorial laws also exist to control the behavior of U.S. employees overseas. Finally, governments are often parties to treaties or global compacts that may apply to labor. These would be enforced through the courts. A key point for supply chain managers, however, is to gain enough familiarity with the country and local labor laws of their suppliers to know when they are in compliance. An organization may have less legal liability in these cases, but can face significant reputation damage and loss of customers if a supplier is operating in violation of laws or international ethical standards. Two major areas where these laws may differ significantly are in collective and individual rights. Collective rights include rights to collectively bargain, congregate together, discuss employment matters, or receive fair warning of layoffs or plant closings. Individual rights are more extensive and include equal treatment of various classes of persons, child labor, forced labor, terminations, data privacy, wage and hour laws, including overtime, maximum hours, and pay reductions, vacation or sick pay and leave, pregnancy regulations, part-time, temporary and contract worker restrictions, workplace health and safety, and alternative dispute resolution methods. Some countries even have laws in place that restrict companies from exclusively using independent contractors in order to avoid providing employee benefits. International labor considerations. A number of international organizations support labor rights. For example, the United Nations has a large number of declarations that support human rights, labor organization, economic rights, and prevention of discrimination against women. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD, has guidelines for multinational enterprises, and the International Labor Organization, ILO, has a tripartite declaration of principles concerning multinational enterprises and social policy. The United Nations Global Reporting Initiative, GRI, draws upon information in these standards. Its categories of information on the social impact of organizations help illustrate some prominent international labor considerations. Organizations need to consider the impact of the following in each significant region of operations: how entry-level wages compare to local minimum wage laws and any gender disparity, how average wages compare to market rates and any gender disparity, proportion of senior management positions filled by persons from local community, local infrastructure or job-based investments, diversity of new hires and retention for age, gender, ethnicity, and so on, benefit differential between full and part-time employees, and if the proportion of the two groups is reasonably allocated, parental leave time support and post-leave retention, how layoffs and plant closings are communicated with / without unions, and whether support services for career transitioning are offered, whether employees are represented on health and safety committees, worker injuries or health issues by region or gender, How all health and safety is handled in union/non-union shops. Proper and sufficient worker training by gender or employee category. Existence and efficacy of grievance mechanisms. The labor practices regarding suppliers by region are also of concern. Proportion of local suppliers that are used. Whether suppliers are screened for labor practices. Proportion of suppliers with negative impact labor incidents and their significance. Whether supplier labor ethical policies exist and their degree of enforcement, including any contract terminations for poor labor practices. A special international labor consideration is a deemed export. Deemed export. A deemed export can arise when certain technology or software source code is released to a foreign national, usually for purposes of employment or contract work. When this technology is not normally allowed to be exported to that foreign national's home country without a license, the home country considers this to be a deemed export. In the U.S., for example, the Bureau of Industry and Security of the U.S. Commerce Department requires submission of an export license application if the software or application would need an export license to be released to the foreign national's country in question. The rule does not apply to lawful permanent residents of the U.S. or persons with asylum status.